This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio, and I'm at Tate Britain on London's Millbank with Amy Emerson Martin, who is one of the curators of the Turner Prize 2024 exhibition, which showcases four incredible artists who have been shortlisted for this prize. Hello, Amy, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Amy, of course, the Turner Prize has been going for 40 years now, and I wondered if you could just give me and listeners a bit of sort of, I suppose, background and history to the Turner Prize, which was obviously named after the radical painter J.M.W. Turner.
Yeah, so the prize began in 1984. It's its 40th anniversary this year, which is incredibly exciting, and it was devised to sort of showcase and platform contemporary art and reward artists working at the time in the most sort of forefront of experimental and contemporary British art. So each year, four nominees are selected. In previous years, many years ago, there was actually multiple artists that were selected, and in one year, 1990, there was actually a pause with the prize to kind of reconfigure what the prize was all about and what it was supposed to represent and mean. So four artists nominated. So each year, a jury of four people from various art backgrounds are invited to propose an exhibition by an artist that they've seen in the last 12 months. And then the jurors meet in April and sort of discuss all the exhibitions that they bring to the table. They select four, then those artists are invited to be nominated, and if they accept, then they become the four nominated artists for Turner Prize. And then between April and September, the curators work with the artists to show the exhibition that they were nominated for within the gallery spaces. And I should say that it's great to also have the Turner Prize back at Tate Britain this year. It's been away for 6 years. The last time it was shown, I think here, was 2018. And it does tour often as well around the UK, which is great because then it opens it up to a wide audience.
And obviously we are in the gallery spaces here, and you can probably hear a little bit of noise in the background from some of the exhibits that are on. And obviously the Turner Prize is very much about contemporary art, and people might sort of remember some of the winners in the past, from Damien Hirst to Anthony Gormley and Grayson Perry. But we've got four, I suppose, very different artists this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Turner Prize, really every year, it does an amazing job at showcasing what four artists are most concerned about within their practice at that time. So I think all four artists nominated this year have a strong sort of social practice, and all four really kind of look at cultural, political and historical memory, but also they all look at their own personal and family memories and how that links to a wider kind of global dialogue, as it were, and a lot of them exploring kind of museological and colonial histories as well, particularly with Pio's practice. So I think that they're all socially engaged and really addressing kind of social concerns happening right now in the UK, which I think is wonderful for visitors to then come and see a bit of what is happening in society reflected back. So I think that it still is quite boundary pushing and quite radical in that respect.
Could you just sort of give me a bit of background to each of the artists, and maybe if we can sort of select maybe one of their exhibits that's on display as part of the exhibition, and maybe if we could start with Pio.
Yeah, so Pio Abad was born in the 80s in the Philippines, where he grew up, and then he studied at Glasgow School of Art and the Royal Academy Schools, and a lot of his practice is looking at the kind of, or proposing historical counter-narratives, looking at colonialist legacies, in particularly in museums, and how that affects our kind of ongoing lives. He's also very influenced by his own upbringing in the Philippines, so a lot of his work also explores the kind of his family were very politically engaged in the Philippines and opposed the kind of Marcos regime during the 70s and the 80s, so that informs a lot of his practice as well. And he investigates all these strands and threads through sculpture, through drawing, through installation, and through photography. So he was nominated for his show at the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford called To Those Sitting in Darkness. And the presentation at Tate has many works that were in that show. So then you move from Pio Abad's space into Jasleen Kurz, So Jasleen was nominated for her show Alter Alter, which was at Tramway in Glasgow. And Jasleen is actually from Glasgow, born there, and studied at the Glasgow School of Art and the RCA in jewellery making. And I think it's actually really interesting because when you see her practice, it feels very tactile as well. So you enter the room and you hear a lot of sound. So one of the ideas behind Jasleen's practice is this kind of like sonic memory that she wants to create. So she has various different sounds going off at different times throughout the space. So there's above your head, you'd hear her sort of singing, her Sufi singing. And there's also sculptures of hands in the corner of the room that have chimes within them that go off intermittently. And then above your head is a kind of suspended sky that has prints of photographs of the sky from Pollock Park in Glasgow. And then on top of it, she's placed various different objects that hark back to her own personal memory. So you've got iron brew bottles, you've got a tracksuit, you've got memorial flowers, you've got acrylic nails, you've got hair on top of this suspended ceiling. And then underneath it is a very large Axminster carpet. Visitors are invited to sit and walk across it and contemplate, and it kind of creates this feeling of a sense of a space of worship, but also a space of domesticity as well. And then in the corner of the room, you have a red Ford Fiesta covered in a cotton doily, a very large cotton doily. And this is called Sociomobile. And it's basically, she says that it's the car represents her father's migrant desires to sort of own this gorgeous red car and drive around and be driving and very proud in. And the car itself has a set of songs that play in and out, so popular songs from Bob Marley, for example. And these were all songs that Jasleen and her family listened to when she was growing up. And the idea is kind of that they dip in and out of the sound of songs, so it feels like a car driving past on a hot summer's day. And then you move into the incredibly immersive world of Delaine Labar. So Delaine, born in 1965 in Worthing, where she still lives and works, she studied fashion and textiles at Central St Martin's in the 80s, and you really see that in the practice. And she creates these incredibly immersive installations and environments that use painted fabrics, sculpture, sound, film, performance, performative costumes, everything, to really kind of investigate and explore her British Roma heritage, but also personal and family experiences of loss and life, but also looking at her interest in feminist and Greek mythologies as well. So in her rooms, you go through a real journey. So each room is titled differently. You enter a room called Chaos. You move into a room called Reflection, which is a completely reflective, mirrored room that has a projection and a film and a sound in the center of it. And then you enter out onto Ascension, which is the last room of her space that has a lot of hanging painted fabrics in it. And I think it really, that's a great room to think about one of these ideas that she brings to her work, which is the idea of unpainting. So it's a term that was coined by the feminist writer Mary Daly, but it relates to this idea of sort of carrying out the process and painting the self and really putting the creativity and hope and the kind of experience of yourself into the work. So you feel quite entwined or very close to Delaine, I think, walking through her rooms. In the final presentation of Claudette Johnson, born in 1959 in Manchester, she studied fine arts at Wolverhampton Polytechnic in the 80s, and she was one of the founding members of the Black Arts Group as well. She creates incredibly detailed and intimate portraits of black women and men, trying to really kind of investigate and disrupt the European art historical narrative and place the black figure at the centre of it. There's a self-portrait that she created called Protection, and you see Claudette standing sort of in a contrapposto twisted pose, staring out at the viewer, and she's standing within her studio, and behind her is a drawing of a sculpture, which is very nice because it kind of echoes and mirrors the drawings of sculptures in Pio's first room as well of the exhibition.
And I think there's a real sort of sense through all the artist's work of, I suppose, place and time and our connection with life and everything else, because I think some of the works was done during sort of pandemic and things like that, and obviously some of the artists' families, you know, sort of passed away during their time or working on some of their pieces. So it's very much that sort of relation between us, ourselves, and our relationship with the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the personal memories, the narrative that runs throughout each of their practices feels incredibly warming and personal and really connects a viewer or an audience member with their work. And I think it's interesting because with Elaine's practice, for example, you know, she asked the question, how do you make art in a time of chaos? When she was creating the show she was nominated for, her nan, who she was very close to, was very ill and then subsequently passed away. And it really affected her. And I think that, you know, we can all kind of relate to those moments of chaos and sadness, but also expression and creativity and various other factors that have, I suppose, in the last few years taken over all of our lives, COVID and lockdowns. And, you know, it feels very personal, but also very relevant to a large majority of audience experiences as well.
And obviously, this is very much an exhibition, the Turner Prize, of getting people to sort of come and interact with the art and experience the art and make people think and talk. What does it mean to the artists?
Yeah, I think that's hugely important to each of the artists. They have a real, as I said, all their practices, very engaged social practices, and they really want visitors to come, and whether it be a particular room or a particular object, sort of feel connected to it and see a bit of themselves or society reflected in it. And I think each of their presentations are so different. You know, you've got drawing, you've got sculpture, you've got sound, you've got immersive installation. So it offers something for everyone, I think.
And it's a great exhibition for people to come and see a lot of different art and engage and get inspired and I suppose ask questions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what the Turner Prize does. It sort of opens up the conversation, doesn't it? It opens up a dialogue of, you know, what is contemporary British art right now. And I think that it adds to that conversation and it opens it up and it creates a lively, usually a very lively discussion. And therefore, it's really, you know, it's doing its job.
And the winner of the Turner Prize will be announced on the 3rd of December. Mm-hmm. And the exhibition here continues until the 16th of February 2025. And descriptive tours led by one of Tate's engagement assistants can be booked in advance by either emailing hello@tate.org.uk or by calling 020-788-7888. Amy, thank you so much indeed for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and giving me a great insight into the Turner Prize 2024 exhibition here at Tate Britain.
Thank you very much.